Good afternoon. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels, President of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and Distinguished Lecturer Emeritus from York College, City University of New York. Welcome you to this January 3rd, 2022, I'm sorry. The New Year edition of Vantage Point here on WBAI 99.5 FM. The Pacifica Network in collaboration with YCRadio.org. That's right, the York College Radio community is tuned in to us here on WBAI. So we are hoping that everyone had a productive and joyous holiday under the circumstances, which are not easy circumstances, and that people are healthy and safe. We want to continue to stress that. Today we're going to have an open forum. People can call and express themselves, if you will, your aspirations, resolution, and hopes for the new year. We'll be opening the phones momentarily, although you can line up right now, actually, at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. First of all, we'd like to just continue to encourage people to first, I want to thank folks for the Tower Fund. We really appreciate people who did call in during my last show, who pledged and paid to support the Tower Fund. It did quite well. We're going to continue to push the Tower Fund, so you can right now continue to support it by giving a donation. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. In order to, again, build up that fund, build up our capacity of the management to actually make sure that we thrive. We're not going to stop talking about surviving. Thriving is what we need to talk about in this new year. Next, I'd like to just continue to ask people to, at a minimum, mask up. Mask up at a minimum. That's my slogan. Mask up as a minimum, because we have all kind of people who have all kind of different ideas. But can you just mask up as a minimum? Just mask up. If you mask up, then you know, you get no argument from the professor. Just mask up. N95, preferably. Double them up if necessary. Mask up in order to be safe. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Let us take care of each other. Let's care for each other. And wearing that mask is one of the ways in order to do that. I'd like to also quickly just say that we are mourning the passing. I just got this word within the hour, last couple of hours. Many of you may not have known him, Dr. Waldover Stewart. Dr. Waldover Stewart was a state senator back in the day from Brooklyn, same district as Shirley Chisholm, actually. He was also the chair of the New York delegation, along with Mayor Dinkins, to the 1972, 50 years ago, Gary National Black Political Convention, a staunch supporter of the Pan-African Unity Dialogue. His partner, extraordinary wife and partner, Esmeralda Brown, passed away, I guess it was actually last year, maybe a little beyond that. And that was a huge blow to him, I'm sure. So we'll give more details. Certainly looking forward to his homegoing celebration. Did extraordinary work in organizing in Central America, in particular, the Council of Black Organizations to empower Afro-descendants in that region. Excuse me. Next up, our major topic today will again be said before, your aspirations, resolution, and hopes for the new year. And you can call 212-209-2877. I want to begin this whole discussion with a tribute to someone who I met yesterday by way of my participation on Open Line. That is, of course, Open Line is on 107 WBLS, with Fatim Muhammad and Jennifer Jones Austin. And I'm a guest host, the first of every month. And they had a segment on a brother called the Street Doctor, Earl Bess. I had never heard of him before. Sorry, I had never heard of him before. Many of you may have actually heard from him, particularly in the greater Newark area, because he was a phenomenal human being. Earl Bess, he passed away this last week. But I want to give a tribute to him, and I'm hoping the others will call in to do so. In fact, we're anticipating that Brother Bashir Akinyele, once he gets out of class, who heads up, who's a great educator and does so much work around anti-violence work and all of that in Newark, but also is the leader of the ASCAC study group for Newark, that he'll call in and provide a tribute, very moving tributes yesterday. This brother, Earl Bess, who came to be known as the Street Doctor, self-proclaimed, was in prison for 21 years. I don't know what the offense was. The first 10 years is in solitary confinement, which I think is inhumane. Cruel and unusable punishment. In those 10 years, he passed the time away actually counting Rice Krispies just to keep his sanity. Should not have to be so. He admitted that he was a bad dude. He had done some bad things in the community. He had harmed this community. He had an epiphany, while he was in jail, in prison. Malcolm said, we're all in prison, actually, and decided that when he got out, he was going to repair that harm. He was going to dedicate his life to making sure that young people and others did not make the same mistake that he made, that he was going to help repair his community, help build his community. Spend his life working with, organizing, mentoring, tutoring young people to help them out, particularly in these communities that are just filled with, infested with the manifestations, really the legacy and trauma of enslavement and racially exclusionary policies. We are traumatized, and therefore our behavior sometimes is crazy because we're in a crazy country. And we're still suffering from that today, though. Mayor Roz J. Baraka is making bold, courageous, strong steps with working with the community to how to cope with it. And Street Doctor was a part of that process of just tirelessly going to schools and teaching and mentoring and finding kids in the street and just working with them in a way that was just absolutely extraordinary. And I like it because, you know, when we do shows like we do today, I mean, you know, people call, they pontificate, they talk about being the greatest revolutionaries of all time. But I have great respect for this brother, because we used to say back in the day, the first criteria of your criticism is your own work. It was once said, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with your first step. That he wasn't just somebody who theorized and sort of complained and moaned about it. He got out there and did something about it. In fact, Kwame Ture, a.k.a. Stokely Carmichael, used to say, you know, you need to be organized. You need to become engaged. This brother, Earl Bess, the Street Doctor, is somebody who did something about it every day of his life. Mayor Baraka gave him a tribute, said he may have been poor like so many other people, but he did not let his poverty or his impoverishment stop him from having a rich spirit. The kind of spirit that we need as African people in order to overcome that which we face in terms of structural, institutional racism and the internalized oppression and trauma that often, you know, harms and maims us even unintentionally. And so, again, just want to give my own tribute to our Earl Bess, the Street Doctor, and when our brother Bashir Akinyele calls in, we certainly are going to take his call and let him also express himself as well. We have an open forum today. This is your opportunity to call about anything you care about. I'm going to give you a couple of things that are on my mind. I think we need to be ready for the revolution, as Kwame Ture used to say. Ready for the revolution in 2022. We should have always been ready for the revolution, but we are in serious, trying times. And actually, it is going to be African people, Africans in America, the rejected stones, those who were enslaved and have been terrorized and brutalized and oppressed, who will be called upon to spearhead a rainbow coalition of red, yellow, brown, and yes, white folks to actually rescue this democracy. Because this democracy is in danger. It is threatened by white nationalism. It is threatened by white nationalism. A white nationalism that really diverts attention away from the contradictions of an amoral, immoral, ruthless capitalist political economy. People who should be allied in some respects with people, other people who are oppressed, who are turning on the oppressed in the name of supporting some psychological sense of superiority, which is madness. And so white nationalism, the whole notion of white minority rule, of white power, is threatening democracy. And when democracy is threatened, given that we are here, it threatens black people and other people of color and other people of goodwill as well. John Henry Clark prophetically warned about it. He said, white nationalism is the enemy of black nationalism. And black nationalism is redemptive. Black nationalism is reparative. Black nationalism is about rescuing and building wholesome, healthy black communities by way of self-determination. And so that becomes a major, major, major concern that I have. I don't know about you. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877, open forum. The topic today is your aspirations, your resolutions and hopes for the new year. I'm saying we better be ready for the revolution. Ready for the revolution in order to eradicate Agent Orange. You know, Agent Orange is a defoliant. You know, it was used in Cambodia to kill trees in order to get at supposedly the so-called enemies of America, the Viet Cong and so forth. It is terrible. It is denuding. It is destructive. But what we find is that same Agent Orange in the person of 45, the previous so-called president of these United States of America, the resident of the White House. I called him Agent. I called him the Orange Man. Spike Lee used the term Agent Orange because Agent Orange is something that is destructive. It is infectious. It is something that really needs to be banned. And so that is our charge. That is our mission as far as I'm concerned moving forward, is to eradicate Agent Orange from the system of these United States of America. 212-209-2877. Wide open lines you can get in now. And hey, by the way, you got plenty of time today to call in and to give your views and your perspectives on whatever it is that you feel in terms of your aspirations, resolutions, and hopes for the new year. And otherwise, you have to listen to me for the whole hour. You don't want to do that, right? I want to hear you. 212-209-2877. Though I am taking the opportunity to be on the soapbox to lay out those issues and ideas that I feel are pertinent. We need to eradicate Agent Orange. And there are a trilogy or triad of issues that are critically important for Africans in America. And if it's good for Africans in America, given the fact that we are people who believe in Maat, righteousness and justice, it is good for everybody. Because we have never, ever been advocates only for ourselves. We have always been advocates for those who have been oppressed and marginalized. That's who we are. That's the people. So that trilogy includes voting rights. That's right. I said it. Voting rights in honor of John Lewis and those foot soldiers who bled on the bridge, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, to put the ballot in black people's hands so that we can march on ballot boxes to, in fact, advance our interests and aspirations. We will be called upon like never before to march on ballot boxes. But in order to do that, there must be action in the Senate of these United States of America being blocked currently, but we must overcome somehow in order to stop the schemes, the voter suppression schemes, the machinations that are taking place that are really fascism light. An electoral coup is being put into place. And we can rail against it. We can talk about it. But Mr. Say ain't nothing. Mr. Do is everything. We had better get busy. Better get busy. And fighting for voting rights is one of them. Secondly, George Floyd. George Floyd is the sort of the embodiment. He's the embodiment of really the so many who have lost their lives, who were killed over the years by police terror. Breonna Taylor, Aubrey, the list is too long. Too long. From the slave patrols till today. We've been terrorized and brutalized by the police and the criminal justice system. And Floyd embodies that. And so pushing forth at the state level and the city level, the state level, and all the way to the national level in memory of Floyd and all of those who have gone before us for not reform, a radical restructuring, the creation of new paradigms of public safety and law enforcement becomes an imperative. It really becomes an imperative. And finally, reparations. That's right, reparations. Reparations is the only overarching policy that cuts to the chase. It goes right to the heart of structural institutional racism in these United States of America. And so we need to be pushing for, and I'm proud to be very much in the heart of, in the center of that struggle as we're knocking on the door at HR 40 with 290 co-sponsors, 20 yes votes if it hits the floor, 215 with the vote of Sheila Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, three short of the 218 needed. Knocking on the door in a way that we never ever believed because of the multi-generational struggle epitomized by my mentor, Queen Mother Moore, but so many others going all the way back to the beginning of this so-called republic, if you will. Callie House and Marcus Garvey, and you go on and on and on, reparations, Ray Jenkins, and so forth. And so we got to push for reparations. Got to be ready for the revolution. Ready for the revolution in 2022. So the phones are open, 212-209-8877, 209-212-209-2877. Again, when we hear from our brother Akinyele from Newark, he will call in on the guest line, and we will hear from him in terms of this tribute to this brother that I think epitomizing being ready for the revolution, if you will. This brother, Earl Best, the street doctor, who I talked about earlier. So let's now go to our callers, if you will. Good afternoon. This is the professor, and you are on today our open forum. What are your aspirations, your resolutions, and hopes for the new year? Let's go to our first caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
How are you today?
Am I on right now?
Okay. You talked about nationalism before. You know, I sympathize, you know, when people see their groups being oppressed and stuff and seeing their groups suffer, you know, I understand, you know, we want to help our group, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But when it comes to nationalism, that's a problem, you know, because that nationalism is saying my group first and everybody else second. So I'm against all nationalism, white nationalism, black nationalism, Chinese, whatever it is, okay? Take a look at Hitler. Take a look what happened in the last century, okay? The Germans lost World War One. The Treaty of Versailles they thought was unfair. Hitler, you know, so Hitler and his group, you know, went nuts. And, oh, the poor Germans, you know, everything has to be for Germany. And that was nationalism. That was nationalism taken to the extreme. So that's a scary road to go down. I mean, it's okay to help your group. But anyway, I like to make a point about these immigrants, okay, because they're going to be collecting or they're going to be able to vote. I don't think people understand that they pay taxes. It's impossible to live here, pay taxes, and not vote because that's taxation without representation. So I don't think a lot of people understand that immigrants, even though they're illegal, they're paying taxes. not only that, but I heard something a couple of years ago about this, and they take up Social Security numbers, and they contribute to our Social Security, but they don't collect. So they're actually contributing to our Social Security retirement,
right?
American people, and they don't collect anything. Okay, but like, you know, they're paying taxes. These are illegals. We call them illegals. You know, we think
undocumented.
Well, you know,
as they told me, we prefer to use undocumented, but you can say illegal. But we prefer the term undocumented.
That's a horrible term.
But your point is, you are in favor. You are very much supportive of the idea of immigrants, undocumented immigrants, being able to vote in elections in New York and across the country because they are contributors. They pay taxes, both in terms of state and local taxes, as well as contributing to the Social Security system. So therefore, you're in favor.
Of course. No, I don't.
Okay,
like
that's fine.
Illegal.
That's fine. I just want to get your position out. Others can react to it, and others can react to your aversion to nationalism as being dangerous. Of course, we have one of our great thinkers, Dr. John Henry Clark, who talked about white nationalism as anti-black nationalism, and your perspective is that it doesn't really matter whether it's white nationalism or black nationalism. It's all negative and dangerous. And so, therefore, we got your perspective and your aspiration. If you have one big hope for the new year, what is it?
Being able to talk on BAI and you know, not debate. I don't want to say debate. I think it was Brett Weinstein said we want a dialogue because we want to get to the truth.
Right. Okay. We appreciate that. Thanks for your call. Again, others can call it 212-209-2877. We have an open forum, and today is your aspirations, your resolutions, and hopes for the new year. We want to give you plenty of time today. We got plenty of time to do it. I mean, we can't talk forever, but we got plenty of time, more than we usually have. And I'm delighted to be able to offer this opportunity. Really, I enjoy this as much as anything, being able to interact with our audience. Good afternoon to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes. How you doing, sir? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Tupac said something very, very valid. You don't have to be in jail to do time. And a lot of African Americans are free, but mentally, a lot of us are incarcerated mentally because it's more blacks on black crime than whites killing blacks. And nobody's saying anything about that. And we got to kill the pandemic within our community first. That means clean up the backyard, then the front yard. You understand where I'm coming from? Because that's who eliminating each other is, us. You know, you could go by statistics, you go by polls, you know. So, well, how are we going to clean our backyard up first? That's the question I have for 2022. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate your call. It is a major question. I had a conversation with Mark Morrell, president of the Urban League, today. We were talking about a range of questions. Among them were the issue of reparations. But we also, there is a major, if the Build Back Better bill passes by reconciliation, there is a significant piece of resources in that bill, some $5 billion, to deal with issues of crime, and violence in the community. A lot of people don't know that because, unfortunately, Democrats are pathetic when it comes down to messaging and letting people know what is being done. But he was indicating he had a family gathering over the holidays, and he talked about some of the older people were talking about voting and civil rights and so forth. He said, but the younger people were talking about the violence, internal violence, the carjackings, the internal self inflicted wounds, the fratricide, if you will. So it's interesting. I also believe, by the way, that is among the major issues we face internally. I would say the two issues would be that internal fratricide and the internal murders that are taking place and the destruction to ourselves. And the other would be gentrification. These are two issues that really just gnaw at black people. And the question is, do we put enough priority on it in terms of acting on it and building on it? And this is something that I think is a valid question that our caller has just posed. Again, the topic today is open forum. Your aspirations, resolutions, and hopes for the new year. Your aspirations, resolutions, and hopes for the new year. The number to call is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Please turn your radio down. Hello? Hello? All right, I guess that's
okay, we're just moving on to the next caller.
All right, next caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
All right, good. Yeah, great show as always. I love the show. It's terrific, and thanks for the time. First thing, resolution is I wish the new mayor all the luck in the world, and also as a former retired teacher who now substitutes, I wish the new Chancellor Banks all the help. I met him once. He's a terrific guy. Just a shout-out. I get off the air. Great show. It's just I hope in the new year that we have hundreds of per diem sub. This is a shout out. I apologize. We have hundreds of per diem substitutes who worked during the COVID crisis last summer of 1920. And the Department of Labor and the Department of Education is chasing us for overpayment of federal benefits. And we're being threatened with garnishment and credit scores. And we just don't think that's right. We're just asking them to please stop. We're asking the mayor, in fact, to please stop. And that's it. I'll get off. What a great show.
All right. Thank you so much. That is right. I mean, people put, I mean, you know, I mean, this penchant for worrying about, I mean, you know, obviously you want to be efficient. You don't want money to be lost and all this kind of stuff. But I, you know, I got to tell you, if I have to err, I'm going to err on the side of making sure people have what they want. I mean, millionaires and billionaires are stealing. I mean, this is grand theft at a level that is unconscionable. And then, you know, people worry about, you know, if somebody, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not promoting that people should like take advantage of stuff and do things, but this is not what's happening in this particular instance. You know, if people put in the time, they ought to get paid, period. They ought to get paid. And it's unconscionable. We're always looking at the little woman and man all the time, trying to squeeze them, make them behave, make them the models of thrift and so forth and so on. Meanwhile, others are just literally getting away with a level of theft that is criminal, to put it mildly. Others can call at 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. And Brother Akinyele Bashir Akinyele is listening from over in Newark. Again, we invite you to call the guest line, as I gave you the number to give to provide your own tribute to the street doctor, Earl Best. I gave my own little modest tribute to open it up based on my knowledge of hearing about him on Open Line yesterday. Others can call 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello. I'm on the air.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I was just listening to your calls, and the gentleman talked about crime in the neighborhoods and so forth. Well, you got to figure, like, the criminal justice system, there's no redemption in it. Once you get labeled as a felon, your life is ruined. Now, I went out to Rikers Island about, last year. You had 5,000 young men out there on Rikers Island with these records behind them. Now, what they do, they offer these kids plea deals. They take the plea deals, but you come out and you're on parole for 5 years, and you go back into the community. And these men, when they're released from the prisons, that's just in Rikers Island. When you talk about black men in prison, you're talking about probably about 10,000. And when they get released out on parole, they come back into communities that they came from. And what can they do? How can they make a living? They can't get food stamps. They can't get housing. They can't get a job. I'm not making an excuse, but I'm just saying you're putting the blame on, you're not putting on the blame on society, how corrupt it is, but you're trying to blame us. I mean, people of color. But it's not us. Our men are really committing crimes because they are criminals. Most of them is just trying to survive, and they get in these gangs that they get into are probably people that they were incarcerated with. So I think they should look further at society and try to make changes in the society instead of saying, well, look at this, look what's going on, let's put stop and frisk back in place, let's do this. No, that's the wrong approach.
Well, I happen to agree with virtually everything you've said. Really, we have a criminal punishment system. I think I may have made some comments about that in terms of the need for, in my opening commentary, you may or may not have heard that. And, of course, we in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century work on these issues. And one of the issues that we had hoped had made great progress is what we call ban the box. Because on employment applications, there is a box that they ask you about. Have you ever been arrested or do you have a criminal record? Well, once you answer yes, well, like you said, you can't do anything. It's like double jeopardy. You did the time, and now you're being punished again. That needs to stop. And by the way, you hit on something else that a lot of our, and by the way, one of the things that needs to happen is we need to have some very, very, very serious conversations in the black community about these issues. It's about, you know, because people run off to church and we're Muslims, we're Christians, we're Buddhists, we're everything, right? But when it comes down to these questions, you know, we don't always have the kind of compassion and acceptance of our people who are coming back, who have already done the time. And when you talk about plea bargaining, that's a big trap, because in many instances, you know, you're rolling the dice. You know, and a lot of these people who plead guilty are not guilty. They just plead in order to just as a way out. But once you plead, then you're stuck. You're stuck with a record. And so that's something we need to address. I will say, however, there is a way in which also, and this is also derivative of the system, that we end up developing out of our pain people who really, some of whom are really, you know, just out there. I mean, who become ruthless, and it ain't just like to live. It's just like, it is like a kind of unconsciousness that is, Cornel West calls it nihilism in our community. So we do need to address this crisis. And when I was talking to the president of the Urban League, he said the same thing. He said, look, the last thing we need to do is to go back to some of these same old law and order, stop and frisk, some of these kind of things that people are going to be demanding, because in reality, things are happening. But we have to figure out how to address these things without creating or reinforcing a draconian criminal injustice system. We have to figure it out. That means we have to take time, and that's what's very often, we ain't got no time. We have to take time among ourselves, in our community, in forums, discussion, churches, civic groups, in our neighborhoods, to figure this out. Kuumba creativity. We can figure this out. And we have to figure it out in terms of building a better way of getting this done. 212-209-2877. Really enjoying our conversation with our audience today. The question becomes your aspirations, resolutions, and hopes for the new year. So if you have a problem and all that, you can state that, but also tell us what your aspirations are. What do you hope for? I hope we'll be ready for the revolution. I talked about it in terms of, you know, how we should be ready to take on these various issues. What are your aspirations, resolutions, and hopes for 2022? 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy New Year, Ron. This is one of your old-time followers and listeners. And I want to talk about reparation.
Go right
and
ahead.
The voting, and the voting right. And I'm going to try to group them together. Now, Ron, tell me if I'm wrong. If our democracy, I said reparation, I meant democracy. If our democracy is being threatened, who is it being threatened by? It's the ones that is in charge that is being threatened by. And if they can't do anything about it, what can be done? And the same way with voting. They're restricting voting and what have you to keep people from voting. So who... I don't know. Anyway.
Well, let me help you out there. I mean, because okay. That's what Dr. Leonard Jeffries always talks to us about, having, quote unquote, a systems analysis. What he says to us, we have to think through these questions. So the they, who are the they? Well, in this instance, what has happened in the last 4 years is that a person whom we kind of laugh at but shouldn't laugh at, I call him the orange man, who's very insidious and very dangerous, was able to inspire and encourage a group of people who had been on the sidelines to essentially seize control of an already conservative Republican Party and turn it into a white nationalist, white power party. And so these forces have used the ballot, frankly, as a way, not only in the national election, but in state by state by state, taking over state legislatures, using things that we don't even think about, like redistricting or the census. We were telling people, you have to, well, it's obviously anxiety about it, but the census is being used as a way to determine how you do apportionment of funds, but also the state legislatures determine and draw the lines. And what they're doing is they're setting up these super red districts where even if a party like the Democratic Party has more votes, they still don't get a chance to get the same representation. When Wisconsin is a classic example of where there are more Democratic voters, but yet a minority has carved up, controls the legislature, and therefore makes it almost impossible for much to get done. Now, they're trying to do this all across the country by putting in place voter suppression laws. What can be done about it? Well, what needs to be done about it is the federal government needs to override that. The problem is we have a 50-50 Senate, and so you're not getting a single vote from any Republican given the filibuster rule, the requirement that you have 60 votes. And unfortunately, we have two Democrats, Kristen Sinema of Arizona and Joe Manchin of Virginia, who just are reluctant to bust the filibuster, to carve out, even on this issue. And even to some degree, the president has not been as strong as he should be in terms of saying we need to change the filibuster. The solution is, and we're still going to fight for it, we're going right back into that battle right now. Our major civil rights, human rights leaders are going right back into it. They have to negotiate with Manchin. And in some ways, he's not the real enemy. The real enemy are all of those obstructionist Republicans, not a single one of which will even come forward on something like voting rights, because they want to destroy this president in the way that Mitch McConnell particularly said he was going to destroy President Obama. So they have to negotiate, and I'm confident that something will be done to override this effort, because if not, we could go and vote in 2024, and state by state, in many of these states, the Republican, MAGA, Agent Orange folk will simply say, nope, this ain't the way the vote went. What the orange man attempted to do in Georgia will succeed. Because they will find that, whatever, the 1,400, 11,000 votes or whatever, they will simply find them, or they'll simply say, nope, you didn't win. And that means there will be an electoral coup. So it's complicated, but it ain't so complicated. But we have to think about it, we have to talk about it, we have to discuss, we have to have dialogue about it, and then we have to act on it. And it is possible to rescue democracy from these white nationalists, and I say so, I was waiting for somebody else to come and talk about that issue. because black nationalism is not the same as this retrograde white nationalism. I said before, we who profess to be black nationalists and pan-Africanists, we have always fought not only for ourselves, but for others. There's negative retrograde nationalism, and then there is progressive nationalism. Progressive nationalism speaks for the ability to first and foremost, yes, look after yourself, as the, one of the earlier callers said, you got to clean your own backyard first, but you can simultaneously walk and chew bubblegum too. You can be about the business of making sure that all oppressed people are free. And so that's nationalism. But it begins at home, and you build from that. So, yeah, it's complicated, but it's not so complicated. But we got to deal with it, which means we got to be ready for the revolution in 2022. Others can call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Today we're asking your aspirations, your resolutions, and your hopes for the new year. And I was glad one of the other callers said his aspiration and hopes is that WBAI remains. Not only we're not talking about survive, we're talking about thriving, which means that we have to support it too. We have to use what's in our hands. Even though we're already stretched and straining, we have to use what we have in our hands to make sure that that tower is there, to make sure that the resources are available to build out an even stronger, a more vibrant WBAI in terms of the ability to reach larger and larger numbers of audiences and so forth. So again, even as I'm talking now, that Tower Fund is still open for you to contribute to. You can call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and say, I heard the professor today. I'm making my contribution today. And I also thank all of you who already contributed based on the appeal we made before. Or you can simply go to give to, that's the numeral to, WBAI. And if you care to, you can do it in the name of Vantage Point in supporting this particular program. Let's go back to our listening audience, 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yeah, good afternoon, brother. This is Street Council from Newark, New Jersey.
Hey, I got yes, how are you?
Pretty good. I'm holding the line, brother. I appreciate your form, man. This is, you know, I appreciate you bringing us to class, man, and really giving us vital information. You got brothers that's behind the enemy lines. Also listening, brother, you know, BAI is a critical piece, critical station, brother. When I was deep down in the trenches, brother, it was BAI that allowed me, man, that played a major part in my survival during the trenches, man, especially listening with Eddie Ellis and them. I had the opportunity to come home and
Oh, yes, Eddie
brother,
Ellis.
Big Rob, you know, Rob Sims, man, I'd be on his heels. You know, about, you know, we gotta get that back going, man. And I appreciate the reminder, brother, about the donation, brother. The donation is critical to the survival of BAI, critical to survival of our people, man. And move. And as I close out, brother, you know, my name is the Street Council, man. I was named after the brother, the great Street Doctor. You understand?
Yes.
You know, a Street Doctor, while doing 10 years in solitary confinement, accounting Rice Krispies. To keep his sanity, I was able to study cases, and that's what and responsible for freeing thousands of people. That's why they called me the Street Council, man. But I wanted to just send my appreciation to my brother, man. He had passed on, man. It's important for us to hold the line and continue to push forward, man. But, you know, Street Doctor, brother, you know, he was a poor servant, but he used his ambition, man, to fight for the poor and also feed the poor. You know, he's a lot of these guys, a lot of these people got a lot of money and was giving them crumbs, but he took them crumbs and gave it and fed the people, man. So, you know, what I'm proposing, brother, as we get embark upon this, brother, sending them off on this funeral that's coming up, brother, you know, I impose all the comrades, brother, that supported the Street Doctor, man, that we put pressure on these guys that got the big purse, man, to put up $1 million, brother, to get the Street Doctor Foundation going, brother. We need to get that going, and we need to get that moving. And continue to work, brother. We cannot, under no circumstances, think that we gonna save our youth or anybody, brother, without being backed by financial footing. You understand
right.
what I mean? You know,
right.
we have to be able to, and you said it earlier, brother, is that, you know, we have time. We have to compensate for people's time, you know, and we got to put that work in, man. We can't tell the individuals to replace that package and we ain't got nothing tangible to replace it with. You know what I mean? So we'll be continuing to work out here, brother, and continue the legacy of the Street Doctor, man. Continue to push take the kids, you know, because a lot of these kids ain't been 10 miles outside the circumference of the area, man. And I like to thank the brothers for putting me up on. I just got something through the chat line, through the group chat, and they were saying tune in, man. And I appreciate the brothers, man, for putting me on this, and I'll be able to call in. And I appreciate you again, brother, by setting this platform, man. Aspirations and inspiration is to continue to keep pushing and continue to speak for those who aren't spoken. We got a brother right now, Lee Holmes, 50 years, brother, 50 years, 5-0, served 50 years in New Jersey State Prison. While these big politicians, they laughing in this guy Murphy's face, the governor's face, man, we need to have a conversation, brother, a serious conversation with Murphy and hold these people's feet to the fire. Because what happened is this brother Tom been served, brother, he's doing parole hits, man, which is a de facto death penalty.
Right.
You know, we know that individual that serves substantially, he's an elder, brother. He's not even physically or mentally capable of committing another crime, brother. So you know, they're using these black bodies as economic stimulus. You know, we know that through historic, brother, we know that black bodies serve as the economic stimulus for those who are opposite race. You understand what I mean? So, you know, we know that, you know, them hits and them parole hits and them brothers that's degrading in themselves and all that, brother, we know that's all about economics. We know that the parole board members get $150,000, $200,000 a year to assess their lives in 15 minutes. You understand how I know? Because I was one of the critical brothers that was on the front line representing a lot of them brothers.
All right, Street Counselor, I got to get some other callers in, but here's what I want you to do. Brother Akinyele or yourself, Akinyele knows how to get in touch with me. As soon as that foundation is set up, let me know, because I am definitely going to make a donation. And we're going to encourage other people to do so, because we need people like you and Street Doctor, because you ain't just talking that talk. You walking the walk. You're out there doing it. And that's what we need more of. So I admire you. I appreciate you. And you can count on my support. OK,
I appreciate you, brother. Hold the line and stay healthy, brother. Peace.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. We just got a few more minutes left here, but I want to get as many callers as in. I know we got them backed up, but I just had to give them more time because of what they're doing and dealing with this brother, Earl Best, the Street Doctor, who did so much. Let's go quickly, rapid fire now, a minute, 30 seconds to a minute to each of our remaining callers. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, good afternoon. Happy New Year. My deepest condolences to Street Doctor's family and friends. He deserves all the accolades that are being poured upon him, because he was brutally honest with himself, and that's why he was so effective in his advocacy. And another thing, with respect to Eric Adams, Mayor Adams, and the stop and frisk, I'm not sure how he's going to be able to implement that, because Judge Shindlin in 2013 ruled that it was unconstitutional, that the stop and frisk, that policy of the NYPD was unconstitutional. So I don't know how Mayor Adams is going to implement this, but I'm very interested in seeing how it plays out. Thank you very much.
Right. Well, a lot of us are interested in that, and a lot of us are opposed to that. You know, Eric Adams is someone that I don't know him intimately, but I kind of, you know, been around him, and he's kind of like, you kind of know him. And so I'm hoping that we have access. I think we do have access, but we're pushing back against that idea. You can find other ways. We know that there's an issue that we need to deal with, but this is not the way to deal with it. So, you know, love you, brother, but, you know, we don't want to come out of the blocks tangling, but I think we're going to be able to work that through. We're going to have some dialogue about it, and I think we're going to change that. Let me go quickly to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hey, how you doing, man? My name is Kenny. I'm out of Jersey. Real quick, I have a black business page on Facebook and Instagram, and what I'm trying to do is advertise for the small black businesses all across America. And the key is, you know, if I can get the black businesses and other people to participate more than just posting their posts, then we can get that, we can, like, kind of blow it up. And my question is, how do I get, you know, these business owners and people to understand that, you know, when you don't have an advertising budget, you know, it's best to use your free advertisement, and you would have to be more active in building those platforms. I'm running into a brick wall after brick wall, you know, trying to get people to have unity.
Well, I do know that, and Ashley, this is the slot every the first of every month that Mayor Baraka is typically on, and I do know there are several programs that Mayor Baraka has instituted. I can't list them off the top of my head, but I would go to City Hall. I would reach out to the city because there are a number of programs that they're putting together for small business, particularly for black and brown businesses. So reach out to Mayor Baraka, to his administration, and I'm sure you'll get some help. And he'll be on probably the first Monday in February, and certainly, you know, I'll pose that question, okay?
Thank you so
Don't
much.
Give up. Keep hope alive. All right, let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. Oh, hello? Are you there? Oh,
all right, going to the next caller.
Okay. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Hello?
Ooh, caller, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. This is Vincent. I'm calling you from Plainfield. Want to compliment you on the program that you've set up for today. It's been very informative. I would like to say that there are issues, like, say, for instance, with the Kyle Rittenhouse situation and looking at what has happened with Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Paltrow, and others who have been placed in condition of virtual death sentences, although the reliance that led to them being placed there is just on the word of the police. I, of course, you know, have that background in that when I was in the academy, I was told, just like everyone else, was not to deal with a consort with a felon. Well, I look at it this way. Many of the people who have been labeled as felons are actually my people. In fact, I know of a person who was charged with a felon for missing a court date for a jaywalking offense. Yeah, and it's crazy the way they do this. And, of course, in my own circumstance, I have had to deal with a person that was a felon. He got out of prison for he was an armed robber, and I befriended him. So, of course, I was going against the policy, but I knew that there was someone inside of that was right. worthy of being in contact with, and it helped to set him on the right path. And he eventually became a minister.
Right.
So, I was able to do that. But, like, say, currently, there are, as far as the Kyle Rittenhouse and what has happened with the police, I'd heard earlier this morning on the 6 o'clock program on the MSNBC Morning Joe that there was a Pennsylvania state trooper that has killed 4 people and has been getting away with it. And, in fact, he's on death duty right now. But because they started to see some inconsistencies in the reports that have been filed. But in any event, he is, now, still working, still getting paid. And the people that he was charged with killing all were black people. And
right.
All
yeah, that,
were,
yeah, we're really running out of time. But that's
yeah,
one
I know.
Of the issues. That,
I know.
No. Yeah. That's one of the issues that has to be addressed. Because what happens is people go and one police department, they get away with it. Because these records don't follow them. They're not public, and they should be public. You should not be able to commit police brutality or a murder or an offense in one police department. Then you go get hired in another department. So this is one of the kind of reforms that we're looking for. My brother, appreciate you. You're right. Quickly, I'm going to tell the story of the fact that my father was almost shot and killed by, quote-unquote, a felon. And when he got out of parole, he came back to my father. He expressed the fact that he was sorry for it. They became best friends and hunting buddies, and he became himself a parole officer. So we can't give up on our people. We cannot give up on our people. We got to keep embracing our people lovingly and, you know, in ways that we don't have to be stupid, but we have to embrace our people and move forward. Thank you so much, my brother. Appreciate it. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels. Appreciate it. We've had a great program today. We're going to come back next week again on Vantage Point, and we'll have another open forum, not the whole show, but a part of it next week. We look for being ready for the revolution. Ready for the revolution here on WBAI 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with YCRadio.org. See you next week. Time is truly wasted.